It's the Travel Planner Show with Kevin and Sue McCarthy.
Sue has the rest of the day off. You're stuck with me, but I hope you'll stick around for the more of the Travel Planners Radio Show. Our guest now is Elizabeth Hansen, who has, I think her terminology is authentic luxury travel. Elizabeth, welcome to the Travel Planners Radio Show.
Thank you, Kevin.
Well, it's our pleasure. And we're going to do two segments here, if you can stick around. So I'd like to start off with just what is your idea of and what is the meaning of authentic luxury travel? And in the second segment, maybe we'll talk about some of the national parks and things.
Okay, great. Authentic luxury travel is a way of traveling that makes it really easy to connect with a local culture. And it doesn't mean sacrificing creature comforts, high thread count sheets, and good food, but it's a way of connecting with a local culture and getting a real sense of the lives of the people who live in a destination. So instead of looking at the destination, you really make an authentic connection to it. And it's just so much fun. And it really is the way people want to travel. The feedback I get from my readers is that this is really what they want.
Now, does this have to include five-star hotels, Elizabeth, or is there a way to have a great time without having to mortgage the house, for example?
Absolutely. I think the greatest luxury in authentic luxury travel is really having time and being able to be spontaneous and having a customized, personalized experience. It's not about spending a lot of money. I think people who spend a lot of money may just isolate themselves in high-rise hotels. And
yes.
I think if you stay at a boutique hotel or do a farm stay in New Zealand or stay at a haveli in India, you're going to spend less money and have a more authentic experience. And the luxury is the wonderful memories that you bring home from a trip like that.
I like the way you think.
Thank you. You're exactly right.
You're exactly right. Some of our best experiences have been in, like you say, the little boutique motels, and you get to, I guess, indulge yourself more in the culture, if you will, as opposed to going into a hotel with the little plastic and the chrome and the mirrors, smoke and mirrors, whatever you want to call it. You know. Before you get through the lobby, exactly what your room's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to pay $400 or $500 a night to experience that again.
Yeah. Right. And if you stay at a small place that's got a real local host, let's just say you're staying at a boutique hotel and they have, you know, a dozen rooms or less, then over breakfast, the hotel manager or the owner of the hotel comes by. What do you plan to do today? Oh, did you know we're having a farmer's market over in this neighborhood of the city or across town?
And goes out and gets his car and takes you there.
Sometimes. And it's wonderful. I have a friend that just came back from Ireland and she stayed at a B&B. And when she was making the reservation, she mentioned to the hostess at the B&B that she and her husband really wanted to hear authentic Irish music, not the tourist
right.
shows. And when they arrived at the B&B, the hostess said, you've got to get a quick bite to eat and then get over to the church at by 7 o'clock because they're having a music concert tonight in this small town. And it
was
the highlight of their trip.
Uh-huh. Well, we found a place, for example, in the Loire Valley in Amboise. Beautiful town. It's where Da Vinci is buried. And there's an old manor house there that are run by a couple of people from the 14th century. And if you get an upstairs room, they'll carry your bags up. There's no elevators, you know, and it has the mm-hmm. fold back staircases. But as you said, you get up for breakfast and there's the owner who will sit down and have a cup of delicious coffee with you,
mm-hmm.
talk about the day,
mm-hmm.
give you some suggestions as to where some things that you might not have thought about seeing or doing in the area. And it was just a wonderful experience. We've stayed there three times now over the 5 or 6 years. And Don't let people tell you that the French don't like Americans. He loves to sit down and talk about America as well. So just a fun, great place to stay.
Well, Kevin, that sounds like you've really found a place, and the fact that you've been back and you have a relationship now, and that place has become a part of you, and you may do something different at home that you learn from him, or at least it makes you reflect more on the experience, as opposed to being walking in a marble floored hotel lobby and going up to the 26th floor in the elevator.
Right. And going to the concierge level for a free cocktail whoop-de-doo that it ended up costing you $100 more a night because you're in that hotel.
Exactly.
This place, they even have their dog, and it's this huge, huge hound. This dog probably weighs half as much as I do, and I'm close to 300 pounds. But he sits right in front of the door.
Dog.
I mean, you have to step, and he's just a big lump. You have to step around him or over him, and once in a while he'll come over and lay his feet on your shoes and go to sleep. I mean, it's just such a piece of work that we love the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. I remember traveling in Scotland one year, and it was I went over to see the heather in the Highlands. Well, that turned out not to work out so well because they were having a very late spring and the heather wasn't blooming. It was really cold still. And I remember going, I would look for little roadside things that said bed and breakfast down this lane, and I'd go chase the bed and breakfast. And it seemed like every one of those B&Bs had a wonderful cat, and you'd come in and cold from the day and sit by the fire, and the cat would come and sit next to you in the next chair, or maybe in your chair. And it's just,
yeah.
It was such a wonderful memory. And I didn't...
That's one of the standing jokes was, as we travel, it matters not where we are, somewhere I'll see a cat. Now, they're not necessarily coming up and being friendly. It may be a feral cat in the street or whatever, but there's always a cat somewhere, even in China. But we enjoy that type of travel. And sometimes the boutique hotels or inns are not that much cheaper than the national or international hotels, but the experience more than accommodates you on that.
Mm-hmm. I think that I'd rather pay to be in a smaller place where I feel like I'm really going to get a sense of place. I'm really going to not be floating above this place or looking at it from a bus window. I'm really going to be in the place. It's really going to have the potential for changing me for...
So, do you, as you travel, do you arrange to see destinations other than on, quote, tourist tours?
Yeah, I don't go on tours. I haven't gone the last time.
I like you more and more as we talk.
The last time I went on a tour, I was a college student, and my mother would only let me go to Europe if I went on a tour. So
smart mom.
That was not yesterday, by the way.
Well, you know, that's a great story. And we did take a tour in China because of the language barrier, but and we had a good time. Our bus was the fun bus, and the other bus, well, they were just kind of a bunch of old fuddy-duddies, even though they were half of our age. You're listening to the Travel Planners Radio Show. Our guest is Elizabeth Hansen. And when we come back, we're going to talk specifically about how you can see America's national parks. And if you haven't, you should. It's one of the greatest treasures that we have. So don't go away. And do it in the way she likes to travel. Authentic luxury travel. This is the Travel Planners Show on the Global American Network.